Good morning. Welcome to chapel. In our pastoral ministry class on Tuesday, we were talking about just how Jesus taught and how he calls us to work with him and serve with him and that kind of thing. And we were impressed again about the simplicity of Christ and how he tries to kind of uncomplicate things for us and get it down to the, you know, puts the cookies on the bottom shelf so we know what we need from him and what to do. And so I was sharing a story you've probably heard before, some of you, about Karl Barth, the German theologian who wrote volumes and volumes of theology and devoted his life to studying, you know, the truth of God. And so at the end of his life, somebody asked him, Dr. Barth, what's the greatest discovery you've ever made in the field of theology? And he paused for a second, and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that was the greatest thing he'd ever learned. There's something about the Bible, there's something about the Scripture, and what it tells us and shows us and reveals to us about Christ that's just priceless, it's precious. And so we're so thankful that we can be at a Bible college where the Word of God is central to what we do and who we are and how we understand God's call upon our life. In the Keepers of the Vision series, today the focus is on Bible theology. You probably know this by now, I hope, but all of you, if you graduate from Berkeley, will have a Bible degree and something else. So your diploma, I'm not sure if it says that. Does it say Bible and? The diploma doesn't say it, but that's the record. You'll have Bible and pastoral ministry, Bible and youth ministry, Bible and education, et cetera, et cetera. And so so I'm just thankful that we have that kind of focus at Berkeley. We usually often, I guess, have students speak for these chapels, but today it was really a privilege to have Glenn speak, because Glenn Leppert is, if there's a keeper of the vision at Berkeley College, it's Glenn Leppert. Glenn's been here 24 years. That is second only, I think, to Lee Anders in continuous service at Berkeley College, current faculty and staff and administrators. Came in 1985, and he's done a variety of things, as you probably know, even served as president for a short time. You know, this place would be different without Glenn. And so I really am going to look forward to hearing from Glenn. He's going to come and share a little bit with you. We're going to pray over some stuff here in a second, too. Matter of fact, Elliot, if you could bring that stuff up. There's a couple things under my Bible there. But I wanted to have Glenn in just a minute here share a little bit about why he came to Berkeley, why he stays at Berkeley, and then he'll share some more about just the Bible theology area of the college. But first we need to do something. Glenn, what do we have here, and what do we need to do about this? You got a mic,
don't you? If it's on, yeah, it is.
Whoa! That's scary.
This slim little volume here is something that's going to be extremely important to all of you. It's the preliminary information form for North Central Association. In the 24 years that I have been here, this is the fourth time that I have actually developed a preliminary information form. And there are 12 criteria that we're trying to prove to the regional accrediting body that we match. Once we can prove that we match those 12 criteria, then we can be accepted into the self-study process for North Central. And in 2 years, hopefully, we'll become fully accredited not only with ABHE that we're accredited with now, but also with regional accreditation. Those of you who may have looked at my PhD dissertation know that there's very little text and lots of footnotes. And that's what this thing basically is. This is a compendium of all the minutes and letters and facts and figures and data. It's the documentation that will go with this slender little volume to explain why we have said here what we have. And because this is going to impact all of you in terms of transferring of credits, in terms of the kind of finances that the college can have, because of the various things that the college relies upon a regional accreditation for, I would just like to have you as a student body and others pray over this Friday, probably after faculty meeting. It'll get dumped down to the U.S. Post Office and make its way to Chicago. And hopefully there it's going to impress them as much as it may have impressed us.
All right. Anybody want Glenn's job? I don't see. Oh, there's one back there. All right. Well, let's pray. I'd really like to have a couple students lead us in prayer. This is a labor of love on behalf of you as Berklee College students. So let's just have maybe two students stand and lead us in prayer over this material as it's sent off. And all God's people said, amen. Glenn, you may want to remind them about our current accreditation status in case anybody gets nervous about that. But first, would you just, two things, and I'll let you go. I'll sit down. Why did you come to Berklee? Why do you stay?
All my life, I've been involved some way or another in education, starting teaching Sunday school as a young boy, actually, and in following through on that. I taught junior high school in Ogden, Utah. I taught in Africa for a number of years. I ended up in the inner city in Portland, where I was also a teacher for a good number of years. And then I took a pastorate of an old church that was dying, and I buried it. All of those years that I was working with that church, trying to revive it, to renew it, I found myself working in education. It was a bivocational ministry. I was working with child evangelism, also working as a counselor in an elementary school, and just felt that the Lord was calling me back into education. And I like the academic part of teaching. And so I actually applied as the English teacher here at Berklee 25 years ago. I didn't come as the English prof, but I came as registrar, and have discovered it's a beautiful place to make relationships, to dig into academics, to learn, to raise a family, and that's why I'm still here. Dave did mention that we are accredited through the Association for Biblical Higher Education. We have been accredited with them. We were an associate member back in 1949. And then became fully accredited in 1975. We went through the 10-year reviews in 1985, 1995, and again in 2006. And we are in that continuing process with ABHE. But ABHE is a national accrediting body, and it doesn't quite have the clout that the regional accrediting bodies have, and that's why we're seeking further or additional accreditation. I want to talk today on behalf of the Bible theology major, not only the Bible theology major, the four-year program, but also the associate's degree for biblical studies. Many of you have probably noticed that the majors offered at Berklee College have a vocational thrust. You can readily picture the job opportunities for those graduating with Christian school teaching or youth ministry or pastoral ministry or missions or music ministry. There's counseling opportunities and business opportunities with those graduating with psychology and family studies or with business administration. But you likely have difficulty picturing in your mind what graduates with the Bible theology majors might find themselves doing. What vocations call for theologizing? How many Berklee grads have become theologians, publishing, teaching, or holding training seminars in theology? The answer is very few. And if you cannot answer those questions, you might logically ask, why a Bible theology major? But in order for me to answer that question, I need to define for you what the Bible theology major is. But to do that, I first have to define for you what I mean by theology. Biblical study you may understand, but what is theology? The term theology is actually derived from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word, or in some context, study. Together, they give the sense of a word about God, or the study of God. And I like to use the plural and conceive of the term as God's words. God's words that lead us, and I hope that you will allow a serious academician such as I a little bit of a wordplay here. The words of God that lead us Godward. God's words that lead us Godward. And when you begin to consider the whole idea of God's words, you soon realize that the plural is, in fact, the correct way to conceive it. God has not limited us to a single word or two to understand His majesty and His greatness. Instead, he's given us an entire vocabulary for understanding who he is and his desire for each one of us. He's given us a long list of words that have very little application, actually, outside of their use in describing for us who and what God is. Consider, for instance, this list: revelation, inspiration, grace, prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, daily grace, mercy, forgiveness, redemption, reconciliation, regeneration, salvation, and fellowship. Can we really understand those terms apart from what they inform us of God? How do we know God? Through his revelation of himself to us. How has he revealed himself? Through his creation and the inspired word that he has given to us. And what is grace except the way that God is drawing us to himself, and how he has justified us through the death and resurrection of his Son Jesus Christ, and the infilling of the Spirit, the Comforter, that he has sent to teach and to guide us. Grace that allows us to live in freedom and victory over sin. Grace that combines forgiveness and mercy. Grace that has brought redemption and reconciliation and regeneration into our lives. Salvation only makes sense when we understand it as the process that God uses to reclaim each one of us for his own and to fulfill the fellowship he originally intended for us. What a wonderful vocabulary with terms describing how God, the great omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God of the universe, draws us to himself. So again, I would simply say that theology is God's words always drawing us Godward. Theology is the way we come to understand what God has done for us. Theology is our coming to grips with the actions taken by the Almighty God to bring us into fellowship with himself. Theology is what enables us to discover how Christianity works, how it begins with revelation and it ends with redemption. In the words of one theologian, religion is man's search for God, revelation is God's self-disclosure to man, and redemption is the coming together of God and man through Jesus Christ, a reconciliation effected by the Holy Spirit. Theology is that gift that God has given us, empowering us to fathom the way faith and revelation work through our hearts by the Holy Spirit, brings about salvation and regeneration, and causes us to become new creatures in Christ. So how does God reveal himself to us? Why does God reveal himself to us? In what ways can we respond to his revelation? These are the questions that theology can answer. Ever drawing us to himself, God uses theology, God's words, to draw us Godward. So if theology is a tool for understanding who the God is, Bible theology as a major is a means of helping men and women build a solid base for whatever ministry God may lead them to. At the present time, there are 15 students on campus who count themselves among the Bible theology majors. That would be both the four-year program and the Associates in Biblical Studies. In the past, since 1981, there have been nearly 60 students graduated from Barclay College, either with a Bachelor of Arts degree as a Bible Theology major or with an Associate's degree in Biblical Studies. Many of these were degree completion students who simply continued in the vocation in which they were already employed. Others have taken employment as camp managers, as ministry coordinators, as teachers, even a guide for a prominent tourist attraction, or they've entered business in one kind of another. But each one of them has left the college with a deep understanding of the Bible and the words that God uses to draw us to himself. Among those presently in the major are some who will go on to pursue other majors altogether after they graduate from Barclay. Still others will become homemakers and raise families. Others may find themselves in the ministry, either the pastoral ministry or youth ministry. each of them will take with them an understanding of the richness of God's revelation and will be able to share the wonderful vocabulary of theology, God's words that always draw us Godward. This is because the Bible theology major does not so much prepare us for a vocation as it prepares us for life. The overall purpose of the Bible theology major is spelled out in the gloss given before the objectives in the college catalog. Quote, "The Bible theology major is designed for students who desire to know and develop an understanding of God, the Bible, the Christian worldview, and God's work in the world, and will take that understanding into society in order to evangelize, to disciple, and to live as example of God's provision for humanity through Jesus Christ." Let me repeat a portion of that. To take their understanding into society, to evangelize, to disciple, and to live as examples of God's own people. I like that list. What a powerful description it is and should be of every graduate of this college. It's especially pertinent as a description of the Bible theology major because they are going to be people who will in fact know their God. That expression, to know God, though, reminds me of the second chapter of a very influential book, a book in which I have found much understanding, a little book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Packer describes the people who know their God. What does it mean to know God, he asks, and he answers his question with a study from the book of Daniel, noting the things that characterize a person who actually knows God. First, he states, those who know God have great energy for God. Then he continues, those who know God have great thoughts of God. Third, he says, those who know God show great boldness for God. And finally, those who know God have great contentment in God. When he talks about knowing God and having great energy for God, he reminds us that in the prophetic portions of the book of Daniel, in fact, in the last half of Daniel chapter 11, in verse 32, we read, "But the people who know their God will display strength and take action." The context, of course, is set in the time of trouble when the power against God and all things God ungodly, the power against God and all things godly is strong, such a time as this today. And now we need men and women who can and will have great energy for God. Think about Daniel and his three friends, how they resisted the rich food of the king, how they stood for what they understood God wanted them to do. Daniel, in fact, we're told, continued to pray even after the king outlawed prayer. And Daniel didn't just continue to pray, but he prayed regularly in front of an open window. And when Daniel understood through the scriptures that the time of God's discipline would soon end and that the people of Israel really weren't ready for what was coming, he began to pray, and he prayed so continuously and with such energy that God finally sent him an answer by the way of an angel. And J.I. Packer says this, "By this we may test ourselves. Perhaps we're not in a position to make public gestures against ungodliness and apostasy, but we can all pray about the ungodliness and the apostasy which we see in everyday life all around us. If, however, there is little energy for such prayer and little consequent practice of it, this is the sure sign that as yet we have scarcely known our God." Theology is that tool that God has given to us so that we might know Him and then, in turn, have great energy for God. Another thing that you will find in the book of Daniel is his powerful description of the majesty and the power of God. The language that Daniel uses in his prayers gives us an example of his great thoughts about God himself. "For Daniel answered and said, 'Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. And it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. And in another passage in Daniel, Daniel prayed to the Lord his God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness to those who love him and keep his commandments. Righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is today. The men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who were nearby, for those who were far away in the countries to which thou hast given them, because there are unfaithful deeds which they have committed against thee." And we are surrounded, as Daniel was, by so much ungodliness and unfaithfulness. But we need to remember, as Daniel did, that God is a God of power, a God of strength, a God of might. And as we work our way through theology, as we begin to understand God's words, we begin to understand how great and an awesome and mighty God he really is. And if I can quote Packer again, this is how is it that we think of God? Is this the view of God with our own praying expresses? Does this tremendous sense of his holy majesty, his moral perfection, and his gracious fulfillment keep us humble and dependent, awed and obedient, as it did Daniel? By this test, too, we may measure how much or how little we know God. People who know their God are going to show great energy for God. People who know God are going to have great thoughts for God. And people who know God are going to show great boldness for God. You can't deny the boldness of Daniel and his friends when they took those great risks that they did for God. I think they anticipated the words of the apostles centuries later, who would say, "We must obey God rather than men." Their willingness to stand firm in their faith put them ultimately in the fiery furnace. But it didn't matter to them that they did not change their stance. They were willing because of the faith that led them. And it didn't matter whether others of the Israelite nation had that same stance or not. They stood for what they knew of their God. And the same is needed today. And in that last point that Packer makes, those who know God have great contentment in God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the peace of God, and they could calmly tell the king they would face the fiery furnace rather than back down, because they knew what God would do. It didn't matter what happened. They were at peace with God. The same was true for Daniel, who could relax even in the lion's den. So, I've tried to answer the question, what is theology? Theology is simply God's words that lead us to himself. And the reason that we have a Bible theology major is simply this. Not everyone is seeking a vocational position. Some simply want to know God and to know his word as thoroughly as possible, so they, like Daniel and his friends, might stand for God in a world that very definitely needs that kind of testimony. They want to be a people who know their God, and the Bible theology major is simply a way to accomplish that. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, if you're a Bible theology major, would you stand? All right. So those things that Glenn was talking about, we hope will apply to you especially. So Glenn, if you don't mind, if you lead us in prayer for these guys.
Father, I want to thank you this morning for all of these who are standing at representing the Bible theology major. Father, I know that you have various calls and purposes on their life, but that you want to equip them so that they would know you and be able to stand for what they understand you would have them do. And so I just pray as they continue their studies, several here will be graduating this May, as you call them into whatever life occupation you've given to them, that they will in fact be a people who really know their God. And those who are just beginning in this process within the major, Father, we pray that you will open to them the scriptures, that you will give them an understanding of your words. And as you will with all students here, that you will just continue to lead them to yourself, that you will lead them Godward through your word. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go in peace. Have a great day.